Live in the studio with me, Jason Watkins beside me, Rockin beside me. Jason, how are you?
Well done, man. Well done. It's a common mistake.
Yeah. Okay, so where the hell are you from?
Oh, God. You really?
Yeah.
How long have we got?
Oh, come on. You just tell me. I'm interested.
Mate, born and bred Atherton Tableland.
Yeah.
Far North Queensland.
Beautiful place.
But, man, now...
I did some shows back in the day when I was in bands at a big place that's like an airport, like a hangar.
Yeah.
It has basketball courts and everything in it. In Atherton?
In Atherton? Oh, Merrilands Hall. Yeah.
Merrilands Hall. I knew you.
Geez, you are going way back, aren't you?
Oh, mate, I walked in and the band, who had been together forever, had Fender amps and they all had Fender guitars.
Yeah.
But they were all collectible guitars that they bought, you know.
Who was the band?
I don't know. They backed me. I was singing. Things.
There are some classic musicians on the
other. Well, they all had, one had like an L series Strat and the other had a precision bass. Yeah. It was like, you know, you think
Godfrey Boys or something.
Oh my God. Yeah. They bought them new.
Yeah.
And they were vintage. I was just gobsmacked.
Right.
Yeah. So Atherton, where to from there?
Oh man, I've been traveling around for years. So my wife and I have, this is a bit of a going thing, but my wife and I have shifted. We've been together for about 30 years now, and we've shifted 48 times.
48 times?
Yeah. Like kids, dogs, horses, cows, chooks, the whole show.
Hmm.
I don't know. I just got that rambling thing going on. You know, like, we're both as bad as each other. Like, if something pisses us off, we don't like our job or something, we just come home and say, let's go.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to be like that. I can't. I've got, you know.
Oh, it's a good way to live your life, man. But I tell you what, it's been great for our kids because they're at that stage in their life now where they can assimilate into any situation, you know. I mean, they just got this
Like your son plays with you or produces you? Like you've got
my son's the guitarist in the band. Oh well, they've all got.
Is your daughter the drummer?
Yeah, she's a drummer / manager.
And your manager?
Mm. Yeah, oh, it's very cool.
How are you taking direction from your daughter? I don't know whether
really
I could deal
good.
With that.
Really good, man. I respect her. She has a lot better handle on everything than what I do. So whatever she says goes.
Well, if my daughter was my manager and she was, you know, in a loft office, you know, and she said, you're working at, you know, oh, I don't know, Laidley next week. I'll go, don't make me come up there. Don't make me come up there.
You'll get one of these.
Yeah. One, two, you know, how we count. Get down from there. Yeah, so you're surrounded by family, which affects your music. It's family music.
Well, I mean, they live down here. The three of them live down here, but I choose to, my wife and I live up on the Cape.
Mm.
We've been up there for the last 5 years, I think. And
is that where you shot that film clip for your last song?
Chilly Beach.
With those kids?
Chilly Beach, yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
Oh, it's a spectacular place. Like
I meant the kids, you know, the indigenous
kids, flipping,
and they just, you know, when they know the camera's on, they're
stars. They're rock stars, a lot of them.
Yeah.
You know, you got to bring them out of their shell, but the thing is, once you do, you see some pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty special kids. But, I mean, that's Lockhart River kids. I mean, we live in that community, and so, you know, we have a great relationship with those kids. I'm a bit of king of the kids in Lockhart River.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they're a good bunch. We've got a couple of God kids there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a great community. So I live on the Cape now, and I can't see myself shifting again.
Can I get you to play a song, and then we'll come back and talk some more?
Sure.
Because I've got a lot of interest in what you do. Yeah, I do. You just seem to be laid back.
Maybe you should come visit me on the Cape,
James. No, don't. You wouldn't want me. You'd be sleeping with one eye open.
You and the mozzies.
No, yeah. I'll be. And then you'll listen. We'll discuss that after this song. What song are you playing?
Well, since we're talking about Lockhart River, I suppose I should sing the song that we wrote about Lockhart.
Okay, hang on. Let me get this mic over on your guitar.
I better set it up, though. It's predominantly about Lockhart River, but we were... Can I tell you the story? This song's called These Are The Days, and I'd spent the day fishing in the Lockhart River with a mate of mine, and we had a fantastic day. You know, we were catching jewfish in the dew hole, and we were having a few beers and a couple of smokes, and it was just a marvellous day. And we started steaming back to the mouth of the river, heading back to Lockhart, just on sunset. And as we got to the mouth of the river, there was the barge that delivers all the freight into Lockhart River was anchored up in the mouth of the Lockhart. And the crew on, there's only two on the boat, it's Johnny Cash is the deckie and the captain, and we're really good mates with them. So we pulled up alongside just to have a yarn, and just as we pulled up, they were, you know, winding down for the day. And so we climbed aboard and we had fresh jewfish, and the ship's captain's a really good chef, so he cooked up this beautiful tempura batter. And so we're sitting on the deck of the Temple Bay barge with the sun setting down over the Lockhart River mouth and drinking beers and eating fish and telling yarns. And it was just, I'm thinking to myself, this is the quintessential Cape York experience. And I thought, these are the days, you know, and you got to take notice of it. And
so that's where this song comes from.
That's where the song came from.
All right. Are we right there, Paul, with the I think you'll pick up plenty of guitar.
You get plenty of guitar.
Yeah.
How's that, man? This is my faux pas reggae.
Okay.
My country reggae. I've just stepped on board the Temple Bay. One pull on Johnny's bucket and I'm on my way. Oh, these are the days. A tempura jewfish setting my buds ablaze. As the night time descends into a purple haze. Oh, these are the days. These are the days we will remember when we chase the sun up and down again. Our voices echo up into the night, singing still one love. Make us feel all right. Oh, these are the days. Yeah, these are the days. Oh, Lockhart River sun sets on fire, and a golden beach horizon fades to crimson desire. Oh, these are the days. We'll take a long boat up the river, just me and you. Crocodile, barramundi, queenfish and black palm, cockatoo. Oh, these are the days. These are the days we will remember when we chase the sun up and down again. Our voices echo up into the night, singing still one love will make us feel alright. Oh, these are the days. Salt water dreaming here with you. We're watching little Bob and Marley shake a leg to reggae and roots. Oh, these are the days. These are the days we will remember when we chase the sun up and up into the night, singing still one love will make us feel alright. Oh, these are the days. Yeah, these are the days. Yeah, these are the days.
Man, oh man, you took me there. That song took me there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put you on the Temple Bay.
Yeah. Yeah, amazing, eh? Music just takes you there.
That's the trick.
All right, talk to me some more. I want to know more about you. Is it I mean, what's your success? My kids.
That's my greatest attribute, 100%. There's no doubt about that in my mind. I got three of the greatest kids in the world, and, you know, I mean, credit where credit's due. My wife and I guess it's a labour of love having kids. And, I mean, that's, you know, especially living in community these days, is that it feels like people have sort of lost sight of the fact that having kids is a privilege, you know. It's an absolute gift.
Mm.
And nowadays it seems like people think it's more a chore and an obligation to have kids. But
strange you should say that, because we were talking to – oh, actually, Paul's mum. What's your mum's name again?
Jeanette.
And she had worked in a remote community for, 6 years or something?
Yeah, near Port Hedland.
And she was a teacher.
Yeah.
But she actually learned more from the community than she taught.
Undoubtedly.
And one of the things that she said was – that, you know, I said, you know, tell me about a remote community. And she said, the children.
Mm.
The children, they just, there's this love and, like you say, privilege about children. And that, you know, it can be anyone, pick them up and cuddle them. And they're just a real, you know, gem of the community.
Well, I mean, you know, it's no secret. I mean, kids these days, they face some hardships. I mean, you know, some of the stuff that they go through. I mean, I know some of the kids in my community in Lockhart River where I live, you know, I mean, they get subjected to some pretty horrific stuff. Mm. And, you know, you sort of have to admire the resilience of them because, you know, they're just out there every day. But, I have this reoccurring memory of when I first arrived in Lockhart River, because I went up there when I recorded my first album and, you know, I mean, I was sort of getting a bit disillusioned with the music biz and so...
Oh, you know, it can hit you in the face with a shovel.
I was getting a bit burnt out, but because I've spent most of my life on, you know, in rural jobs, you know, managing cattle stations, whatever. And so I decided to go back to my roots a bit, you know, and I picked up a fencing contract up at Lockhart River.
Mm.
And when I first arrived in Lockhart River, I went down to the beach, Quintel Beach, because it's just off the beach, you know. And I'll never forget, there was this kid and he was riding a black stallion, and like, he was maybe 12 years old. And I'm just standing on the beach looking out over the coral sea, and next thing this kid just comes galloping bareback with like a rope halter on this black stallion down the beach. He's got this massive, big, flowing black locks and he's got no shirt on.
Mm.
And, you know, he's just – it was just the
– You think that's life, eh?
Man, I just looked at him. I thought
– He's living it.
That kid has got some serious ability.
You know, you talk about resilience in children. There's two that I've come across that come to mind. There's much more because of agro. You know, I've done lots of kids' hospitals and stuff. And there was a boy in Melbourne, Blake, and he was just young. He was like six or something like that, six-ish, you know. And he had all the glands taken out under his right arm.
Mm.
And his right arm had become just useless. It was cancer, and it was just hanging. And he sat down, and I was there. He'd only just had the operation, and he came. He sat down. He just started to use his left hand. He didn't even think about it. You know, he went straight to his left hand. Whereas I would have walked around the place going, "I've lost the use of my right arm." Yeah. You hearing me?
Yep.
But the kid just straight away. And there was a girl in Perth. In hospital, she'd been in a horrific car crash with a family. Bree, her name was, and she would have been 13 maybe. And she'd lost both her legs in this car accident from the knee down. And she was in bed, and Agro comes to the door. And I don't know, I was not really relaxed with Agro in those days. And Agro sort of said, "Where are your legs gone?" And she said, "Oh, I've lost them." And Agro goes, "Mine don't work either." and you know, people around me were going, "Oh my God, you've mentioned the legs." But she's still around, and still, I spoke to Anne Marie. Remember, on TV, I used to be with Anne Marie. I spoke to her the other day, and Anne Marie said, "Guess who called me? Bree."
Yeah, really.
You know, and this is years ago, and she's up and running and doing it, you know.
Yeah.
So the resilience is good. Can you play another – I've got to watch the news. Can you play us another song?
Sure. What would you like to hear?
You choose.
Oh, man. Well, this is 98.9 FM, so...
Now, you play whatever. It's a request day. Clay's gone, so just play one, and we'll go straight to the news after that. I'll put the... Don't panic, Paul. I'm going to put the thing over there.
Put the thing there.
Yeah. Here we go.
Put the thing back where it came from.
Right. Jason Watkin live with me.
This is a song called Life of a Drover. Drover down by the Georgina, spend my day in the saddle between the packs and the mob. 1,500 cattle and a plan of fresh horses. I live for the life and I'm the man for the job. So roll up your swags, boys, there's work to be done. We'll make a move on these bullocks by the rise of the sun. 10 miles to water, pay camp and start over. That's life of a drover. The sound of the hobble chain sets me at ease as I lay in my swag beneath a blanket of stars. Dream of the wide open plains of the Barkly, the bloodwoods in blossom and a sea of pink galahs. So roll up your swags, boys, there's work to be done. We'll make a move on these bullocks by the rise of the sun. 10 miles of water, make camp and start over. That's the life of a drover. My old bones can feel there's a change on the breeze. For the road trains are coming and they scare me to hell, creeping up on me like a disease. But I'll keep on droving while there's breath in me lungs and the road keeps calling me home. I am a drover, and I will be forever, till they bury me deep where the Georgina flows. 'Cause I'm a part of this country, and I always will be, and you'll hear me singing when the Barkly wind blows. So roll up your swags, boys, there's work to be done. We'll make a move on these bullocks by the rise of the sun. 10 miles to water, make camp and start over. That's the life of a drover.
Coming to you live from the studios of 98.9 FM at West End in Brisbane and broadcasting around Australia on the National Indigenous Radio Service. It's the Dunn and Daly Breakfast Show with Jamie Dunn and Clay Cassadaly. With thanks to Seats R Us, Shady Characters and Motson's Automotive Service. And now the lights are on and the faders are up. Here they are, Jamie Dunn and Clay Cassadaly.
Well, hello, boys. Hey, we're without Clay. He's gone to his granddad's... funeral, so not a big day for him, but something we all face. And it's I got Jason Watkin in the studio with me, and it was a request day, so I asked him what he wanted, and you said
Leave on Hell, man.
Leave on Hell.
Oh, I got me a woman, she's a pretty good woman at that. We live with a monkey and a Chinese acrobat. She calls me, texts, makes me wear a cowboy hat. But I don't care, she's a pretty good woman at that. Nothing in the world make me treat that woman mean. She shaves my beard and she keeps my tractor clean. She burns my bread, makes me eat turnip greens. But I don't care, she's the best little woman I've seen. Some folks, they move out to California. And some folks, they stay in Tennessee. And I don't care where I'm headed, just as long as that woman stands by me.
Why did that sound like the band up on Cripple Creek?
Yeah.
Why, it. Paul? Why?
I don't know.
It's Leave on Helm.
It's a cover band. I don't know.
No, man, Leave on Helm. He's yeah. the guy.
So I'm talking to Jason Watkin. Matey, you've had quite a bit of success, and then you've, you're like waves. You come in, and I hear a bit about you,
yeah.
and things bubbling, and, yeah. and then you go back out to see.
I think it's my attention span. It's really limited.
No, but you, like, you know, you seem to have a rhythm to you. Oh, that's me. I always say to Clay, don't adjust your microphone stand while you're on air.
Cause it's
you
really hear, unprofessional.
You'll hear this.
Sorry, that was me.
Yeah.
I had curry last night.
Yeah, but, you know, is that how you, you've got a rhythm to your life? Like, you don't really, like Jackie Kneebone, for instance, that was just, massive.
Well, see, I'm not one of those songwriters that can just punch out songs like mechanically. You know what I mean? I need to be inspired. So something needs to happen in my life. So you know, the last album was a heartbreak album because you know, I mean, if you listen to the album, you can tell my wife and I were having dramas, and you know, and then now everything's good, so I got nothing to write about. You know, so,
you know, I've worked out that after all my relationships and marriages and stuff, it might be me. You think?
Maybe next time just find a woman you hate and give her a house.
I just did that. Now she's after the farm.
Oh, God.
Not the farm.
Yep, bought the farm.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah,
so something's got to happen in your life for you to write about it.
Yeah, but not only that. I mean, like, I'm not just a musician. Like, there's other stuff that I love. I mean, I love I love working. I mean, I love physical labour. I love fencing. I love chasing cows. I mean, I love riding motorbikes.
Mm.
So, I mean, it's not...
You're a country boy.
Well, I am. I'm totally a country boy, you know. I mean, there's... I'd like to think there's no bullshit in me. I mean, I enjoy the things that I do. Like, at the moment, where we live up on the Cape, we own a property right at Portland Roads, and it sort of overlooks this little fishing village about 40 k's north of Lockhart River. And it's this little fishing village, and we're up on a hill and we look straight out over the Coral Sea, you know, and we actually live in a converted World War II gun emplacement. So
how do you convert a World War II gun emplacement?
When I was contract fencing up there, we met this old guy. Because
when you go to the loo, does it explode?
Pretty much. Well, I tell you, if you see the view from the loo, it will explode.
Is that good, eh?
Spectacular. But we met this old guy, and he, you know, he was an old shipwright, and he sailed into Portland Roads in about 1975, climbed up on the hill and found the old lease, the mining leases, which included these old gun emplacements. So there's these big concrete bunkers that were legitimately the World War II army posts.
Yeah. Know?
There's one on our place was the command post, one was the gun emplacement. And so there used to be an old naval wharf down at Portland Roads, and they decommissioned it in about the mid-'80s. And so this old shipwright went down and salvaged all this big, beautiful Darwin stringy timber off the wharf, lugged it up to the bunker, and he built this beautiful house out of it. And when we arrived in Lockhart River, we met him, and he was at a time when he needed to move to somewhere more convenient for his age.
Yeah.
And so we purchased the place off him, and then we've over the last 5 years I've expanded and renovated, and now we've got this spectacular home that is the old gun emplacement. You know, there's the big circle in the middle where the cannon used to sit.
Yeah, yeah.
And the railway line where the turret used to aim, it faces due north so that they could see all the invading forces. And I mean, it's a spectacular place. So I'm in the throes at the moment because I can see the potential of the Cape from a tourism perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to become a different animal. At the moment, the Cape's like the last
frontier. Isn't that strange? And it'll probably be Japanese coming back.
Well, that is ironic, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's totally ironic. Yeah,
you can say, see this house? It was built because of you.
thanks for the incentive. But so I'm in the throes of trying to start up a fishing charter up there. I want to start a fishing charter and a motorcycle.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. This is, listen to you.
Mm, well, I mean,
you live in a gun emplacement, for Christ's sake.
Well,
and you're like, and you know, we're promoting where you're going, which is I got a message from.
Yeah, we better do that.
Where
my daughter will be onto me.
Oh, hang on,
she'll be upping me.
This is my code. No one will get it. Where are we?
Just look at you, Mr. High Tech.
Yeah, look at me, squint. iPhone. Where's me glasses? It says, how awesome is Jason? Cheers from the Wonga Wallen watering hole mob.
Oh, there's the boys.
So who's the Wonga Wallen?
Well, mate, I've never been there, but that's the gig that we're doing in a couple of weeks on the 5th or 6th of May.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just this really intimate little festival. I think they only sell 100 tickets. And it's just, I don't know, it's basically just a pub up in the hills behind Mount Tambourine or the Gold Coast.
Wonga Wallen Watering Hole Mob.
Yeah. Check out the Facebook page. They'll tell you.
Yeah, that's what I was sort of saying that you, it's all right. We've got, is that the receptionist? Yeah, that's all right. Just grab whatever.
Bring her in.
Yeah.
You sing a song.
Well, show me what the.
Hello, receptionist. I'm Jason.
Talik. Nice to meet you. Talik, yeah. Is there something we need to know about? Is there something? Is anyone suing us today?
What did we say?
You need to say the phone number about something happening on Saturday again.
The phone number for something happening about Saturday.
And the time. No, the time.
Oh, the time. 10:30. Sounds
very cryptic.
10:30 on Saturday at the Salisbury Community Sports Club, but it's actually the Bowls Club in Ainsworth Street. 10:30. It starts at 11, but
what's
get
happening,
there at
10. Jamie? What's happening?
Oh, we're just all the listeners are getting together, and
oh, really?
Yeah, we're just all taking a guitar, and you know, people who can play can't play.
Can anyone come?
Yeah,
maybe I should rock up.
Yeah, just rock up, really? Mate. But if you do rock up, you got to put $20 in. Everyone, even
I'm a musician, mate. I haven't got $20.
I know. Look at me. I got nothing. $20 into the Leukemia Foundation. We're doing for Monica. Oh. Okay, thanks for that. You stay in now, don't worry. You're good. Okay, so tell me about the Wonga Wallen. Play something that they might hear.
Okay. Let's play. Okay, this is off the new album. This is called Paul's Pointing. He's pointing at something.
Once I will bring...
Does he do this all the time?
Yeah, he is.
Interrupt like this?
Yeah, he is, you know, there's tablets for what he's got. and he's on half the dosage. So she's put, I will get the mic across.
Yeah,
okay, the,
oh, okay, yeah, okay. Oh, that's what
I need to speak.
He just looks
the...
so relaxed.
Yes. Okay, hang on. Let me get it across.
How's that?
Here we go. Okay, Wonga Wallen Watering Hole Mob. This is what you're going to be hearing.
This is called You Don't Want My Name. This is when my wife didn't love me. Now that you've gone away, there's nothing I can say. Ooh, 'cause I'm left all alone. So I guess I'll just sing the blues and wait for some better news. Chase all my dark clouds away. Am I the only one who's ever come undone? If I had my time again, I could be a better man. Baby, you don't want my name. This is where my son would play a rip-roaring guitar solo.
Okay.
But he's not
I'll
here.
I'll help you.
Oh, beautiful. It's like mouth trumpet. So I guess I'll just pick myself up, pour me another cup. Ooh, try to get a grip on the shame. 'Cause now I have loved and lost, I guess it's time to count the cost. 'Cause baby, you don't want my name. Yeah, now I have loved and lost, time to count the cost. 'Cause baby, you don't want my name. Ooh, it's over now. You don't want my name. Yeah, the fat lady sang, you don't want my name.
Well, you're right. You got to write about things that happen in your life.
Absolutely.
Obviously, you got over that moment, and
yeah, I don't know how. I must have changed.
Yeah, yeah.
She loves me again.
Yeah. How long were you apart?
Oh man, that was
too long.
That was a dark time.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it was. Look, I don't know. I started becoming like my old man. You know, I think that's what happened. I became obsessed with wealth creation. You know, I was just focused. This when I was contract fencing, and I was just focused every day. I was head down, ass up, make a dollar. You know what I mean? And I
you lost sight of the relationship.
Man, I completely neglected my relationship, and I didn't notice, but my wife did. You know, and then one day she just woke up in bed and said, "Man, I don't want to do this anymore."
Yeah.
And so
that's what they say. They all work from the same script. I've heard that before.
They just live in different houses.
I have heard that before. they just email the same script. I can't do this anymore. Yeah. I've heard that a couple of times.
Totally.
Yeah.
Man, I'm glad she's not listening, because, like, if she hears this, I'm going to get home and I'm going to seriously cop an earful. Because
no, you're just telling the truth.
Well, look, I am. But, you know, it's unfortunate for her that she is the, you know, she becomes like, you know, she's the muse, you know. I mean, I write about shit that happens between me and her.
Mm.
And it's just unfortunate that, you know, I mean, it's her personal stuff that gets displayed to the world, you know, and sometimes.
Yeah, but you can only write from the heart. That's the stuff that works, you know.
That's the cross you have to bear being married to a songwriter. Mm. I mean, it seriously is. And I mean, I think she's become aware of that, but. You know, I mean, I don't know, I guess...
Plus having to cut coupons out of magazines if you're married to a songwriter.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, the pizza coupons.
Yes, yeah. Don't throw that away.
Yeah, we need to feed the kids.
Oh, man.
But anyway, it's all good now. I mean, I decided that I needed to change because I loved her too much. I didn't want to lose her, and so I did. I embarked on this journey of self-discovery, and I like the person I am now a lot more than I like the person I did back then.
Because, yeah, I like you more now, too.
Oh, thanks, Jamie.
I didn't know you
maybe
back
should,
then. But
maybe we should go on a date or something.
No, you don't want to. Don't invite me up to the gun emplacement, whatever
you
do.
No, you should come. You should, seriously.
No. Oh. No, I would bore you to tears.
No,
I'd love hey, thank you for coming in. Thanks for, like, staying. Like, this hour has been fantastic.
It's
you know, flowing. I lost my little mate. He's going through some stuff, and yeah. He needs to support his mum, you know. Her,
totally.
Yeah, you know. So I appreciate you coming in.
My pleasure.
I wanted to finish on Jackie Kneebone. Tell me, if you write from the heart, tell me about Jackie Kneebone.
Well, 98.9 listeners have probably heard this story before, but indulge me. So this is back when I was doing my cover circuit days, you know, like trying to feed the kids and do my thing. And I was playing full time, and there's this little seedy pub up in Far North Queensland in a town called Mareeba. And it was called, back then it was called the Dunlop Hotel. And it was, you know, I mean, it's one of those country town pubs,
you know.
You can imagine, like you walk into the lounge out the back and it's like dimly lit, low ceiling, sort of carpeted, you know, you can imagine the sort of place it is.
Yeah.
Sort of
usually a deep red carpet.
Yeah, burgundy. It's
kind of
some sort of
sticky,
burgundy
yeah.
thing going on. Yeah, I don't know. And anyway, so I've set up for my gig. I'm doing a solo acoustic gig, and as I'm setting up, I could see there's this old Aboriginal. He looked like a ringer, a Cape York ringer. You know, I mean, you can pick him. He walked in. He had the old Slim Dusty bash on his Akubra, and he had. You know, he had a dumpy hanging out of his mouth, and he's got, back in those days, you could smoke in the pub, and had about three teeth in his head, you know. He had this sort of 5 o'clock shadow going on, and he was dressed immaculately, you know, in one of those old Western shirts with the mother of pearl buttons and the necktie, you know, and he had the R.M. William corduroys on and the big Cuban heels, and he just looked intriguing, you know. And so me being a songwriter, I crave conversation,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
especially
yeah.
from intriguing people. And so I finished setting up my stuff, and I sidled up beside him at the bar, and we just started a conversation, you know. And I mean, I'm into cattle and horses, and that's all he talked about. And he just filled my head with all these incredible stories of droving on the peninsula, you know, working for big companies and big mobs of cattle. And, you know, I mean.
So your imagination was peaked.
Oh, man, I was on a journey. He just took me, and it was just such an amazing thing. And anyway, so I started my gig, and he stayed at the bar, and the song tells the story. But as you can imagine, if you listen to the story of the song, it just played out in front of me, you know. So I'm doing my gig, and this is just playing out in front of me, and my jaw's just going, like this. And
yeah.
And I just knew instantly, I'm going to write a song about this.
Yeah.
So I did. I went home, and I pieced it together over the next few weeks, I guess, and Jackie Kneebone was the result. And I got no idea where he – like. I don't even know where he is. He could be dead for all I know.
Yeah.
I've never met him again. I hope that he's heard the song one day. I don't know.
Yeah, you never know, eh? Yeah, but it's a cracker song, and thanks for the background to it. Now, the Wongawallan,
if you haven't bought a ticket and there's tickets available, get on down to it. Check out the Facebook page, Wongawallan Watering Hole Musical Extravaganza, I think it's called.
How do you spell extravaganza?
Oh,
all right, well, I want to finish on Jackie Kneebone, and I've heard the story, and I'm just going to follow the story again through the song. Thanks for coming in, Jason Watkin.
Anytime.
Dunlop Hotel sits a weathered old man with a face that looks like it's been around since time first began. He's bent, he's burnt out, his hands constantly shake from a love of the grog he could never forsake. And his 5 o'clock shadow's a few shades paler than grey. Lifetime spent in the saddle has taken its toll. Riding away from a generation that somebody stole. And the stories he tells are like novels from Verne. And his eyes light up like the cane fires burn. When he speaks of the stock routes, the camps and good bosses he's known. So let me shout you a beer, roll you a smoke, raise my glass in salute to you, Jackie Kneebone. Your face is forgotten, your legend untold. You're lost in the new world alone. But still rivers, dock roots and fresh horses will carry you home. Few words to himself. The cocky young ringer comes and orders some booze from the top shelf. Self-righteous and drunk, he starts in on old Jack in an angry, unprovoked, racist verbal attack. But the old man just sits there in silence and weathers the spray. Still without word, Jackie awkwardly gets to his feet, pushes his battered hat back on his head and begins to retreat. But the abuse still comes quick and rains down on him fast, till finally Jackie is taken his last. And a lightning fast crashing right blow brings an end to the storm. And the old man looks down at the boy and he says, how can you judge me when you don't even know me? Men far greater than you have fallen beneath me. And the very next words that you say should be, I'm sorry, sir. Then let me shout you a beer, roll you a smoke, raise my glass and salute to you, Jackie Kneebone. Your face is forgotten, your legend untold. You're lost in the new world alone. But still rivers, dock roots and fresh horses will carry you home. He said, let me shout you a beer, roll you a smoke, raise my glass in salute to you, Jackie Kneebone. Your face is forgotten, your legend untold. You're lost in the new world alone. But still rivers, dock roots and fresh horses will carry you home. Still rivers, dock roots and fresh horses will carry you home.